Elm Hammerhand is perhaps the most legendary figure in the history of Rohan. But does he deserve his fame? Is he a hero like the Rohirrim paint him, or a darker figure? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. The Battle of Helm's Deep, or the Hornburg in the books, is one of the most epic and memorable moments in The Lord of the Rings. The fortress is described as never having been taken by an enemy, though it comes pretty close as Saruman's forces push on. And in those darkest moments it is clear, particularly in the books, that the inspiration for the Rohirrim comes, yes, from Theoden, but also a figure from history, Helm Hammerhand. The valley itself, Helm's Deep, is named after him, as is Helm's Gate there, and Helm's Dyke, and as they prepare their last gasp counterattack, Helm's horn is blown, and the riders chant, not Theoden, but Helm, Helm. He is clearly a legend to this people. They are willing to die with his name on their lips. But who is he? And does his story live up to the hype? Because I'll admit that I never really liked him in the books. And I should probably start by saying that I'm writing this video in advance of the release of the War of the Rohirrim film, which will cover this story. I don't know how closely they will stick to the lore yet, but I suppose there are probably spoilers here for that. Helm Hammerhand was the ninth king of Rohan, and the last in the first line of kings who could trace their lineage as direct male descendants from Eol, the founding father of Rohan. The rule he inherited from his father in the year 2741 of the Third Age was not an easy one. Rohan itself was still, in Middle-earth terms, a young kingdom, having been established just 230 or so years earlier, when the Rohirrim were invited to take over this parcel of land that had previously been a part of the wider Gondorian kingdom. That deal had worked well for Gondor, getting an ally on their northwestern border, and also for the Rohirrim, who gained a large tract of land with wide plains perfect for their horse-based culture. The land had been mostly empty for several hundred years since the Great Plague, or at least empty of Gondorians, because other peoples had started to settle there, notably the Dunlendings, a disparate race of humans who guarded jealously their independence from Gondor and those with orc blood. The first kings of Rohan set to securing the land itself, mostly by fighting the Dunlendings, a seemingly endless task. Even by the time of Deor, Helm's grandfather, we read of the Dunlendings holding Isengard and raising settlements in the valleys along the southern edges of the Misty Mountains, encroaching into Rohan, in other words. As well as skirmishes with the Rohirrim, there were also intermarriages and the like. It wasn't an easy border, and although Rohan claimed the land all the way up to the River Adorn, in practice that and the area around Isengard were in the hands of the Dunlendings. And in particular when Helm was on the throne, a lot of that land belonged to a Dunlending called Freca. Freca was powerful and rich and had an army, a ruler in all but name, and he claimed to be descended from King Freyrwine of Rohan. We don't know if this is true or not, but given the amount of intermarriage going on, it's certainly possible. Still, he seems to have paid some lip service to Helm's kingship and sometimes attended Helm's councils. And at one of those councils, he proposed a marriage between his son, Wulf, and Helm's daughter, who we don't have a name for. This is how Helm responded. "You have grown big since you were last here, but it is mostly fat, I guess." And men laughed at that, for Freca was wide in the belt. Then Freca fell in a rage and reviled the king and said this at the last, "Old kings that refuse a proffered staff may fall on their knees." Freca had offered Helm a presumably ornamental staff as part of the marriage proposal. So although this is written in Tolkien's rather elevated language, Freca turned up for a council meeting and proposed a marriage between their children, which may or may not have been welcome, but was certainly a reasonable thing for him to suggest, and may even have been an attempt at forging a lasting peace between their peoples. Helm responds by calling Freca fat, and Freca responds to that by calling Helm old. Helm then suggests that they take it outside later, sends everyone away, and says this, "Freca, your folly has grown with your belly. You talk of a staff. If Helm dislikes a crooked staff that is thrust on him, he breaks it. So." And with that, he smote Freca such a blow with his fist that he fell back, stunned, and died soon after. Helm then proclaimed Freca's son and near kin the king's enemies, and they fled, for at once Helm sent many men riding to the West Marches. This is presumably how Helm became known as Hammerhand. So he insulted a guest in his own house, killed him, then declared war on Freca's family. You can probably see why I've not always been a fan of Helm. At the very least, you have to question his diplomatic skills. And if this was some kind of cunning ploy to catch the Dunlendings unaware and drive them from his land, it doesn't seem to have been very well planned or successful. Indeed, just 4 years later, Wulf, the son who had been offered up in the marriage pact, led the Dunlendings on a much better planned attack. They timed it for when Gondor, Rohan's great ally, was distracted by coastal raids by the Corsairs of Umber, and Rohan itself was under attack from other enemies to the east. It was a rout. The Westfold fell, Edoras fell. One of Helm's sons was killed there. Wulf took up his seat in Meduseld and declared himself king. Helm himself was forced to retreat to the old Gondorian fortress of the Hornburg with his other son and a small force, and a very heavy winter descended. Helm was besieged, and the winter weather took its toll. People froze to death or started to starve. Perhaps in desperation, Helm's other son led a sortie out of the fortress but did not return. Things were not looking good. By then, maybe even Helm was starting to curse the consequences of his own actions. If only he'd politely refused that marriage proposal rather than killed Freca and declared war. But then again, the evidence actually suggests that Helm regretted nothing, and instead doubled down on his anger. We read this. Helm grew fierce and gaunt for famine and grief, and the dread of him alone was worth many men in the defence of the burg. He would go out by himself, clad in white, and stalk like a snow troll into the camps of his enemies, and slay many men with his hands. It was believed that if he bore no weapon, no weapon would bite on him. The Dunlending said that if he could find no food, he ate men. That tale lasted long in Dunland. Helm had a great horn, and soon it was marked that before he sallied forth, he would blow a blast upon it that echoed in the deep. And then so great a fear fell on his enemies that instead of gathering to take him or kill him, they fled away down the coombe. Stirring stuff, but also grim, and it couldn't last long. One night, men heard the horn blowing, but Helm did not return. In the morning there came a sun gleam, the first for long days, and they saw a white figure standing still on the dyke, alone, for none of the Dunlendings dared come near. There stood Helm, dead as a stone, but his knees were unbent. Yet men said that the horn was still heard at times in the deep, and the wraith of Helm would walk among the foes of Rohan and kill men with fear. Famine and grief had driven Helm to an icy death. It's not a happy tale, though for the Rohirrim it does have a happier ending. The winter ended soon after that, and Freyalaf, Helm's nephew, who had been hiding in Dunharrow, led a small force and retook Edoras, killing Wulf. The Gondorians belatedly appeared, and the leaderless Dunlendings were cast out of Rohan, and even out of Isengard. As an aside, this is when Saruman turned up with honeyed words and promises and was given the keys to Orthanc. Finally, Rohan thought they would have a strong ally who could help hold their western border against the Dunlendings. So, given all that, why is Helm held in such high regard in Rohan? His actions led to a crippling war, the deaths of countless Rohirrim, and the end of his line. He fought valiantly at the end, but ultimately it was Freyalaf who won back Rohan. He seems not to have been a particularly strong or wise king or morally upstanding, or even to have won any particular battles when the Dunlendings attacked, and we're told that it took Rohan many generations to recover its strength after his reign. I think the answer lies in the ways the Rohirrim talk about him all those years later in The Lord of the Rings. We read that men of that land called it Helm's Deep, after a hero of old wars who had made his refuge there. When Théoden talks of Erkenbrand, he says that he was a mighty man, in him lived again the valour of Helm the Hammerhand. And when the Rohirrim make their final defiant charge against Saruman's army, they cry out, "Helm, Helm, Helm is arisen and comes back to war. Helm for Théoden king." The Rohirrim revere Helm Hammerhand not for him being a good man or a wise king, or even being a great war leader. It is because of his valour, his defiance against all the odds, the way he single-handedly made his enemies fear him, even when they had the upper hand. Helm did not care that he may die in one of those forays into the snow, or that the odds were stacked against him. He went out and attacked his enemies anyway, because that's what a true rider of Rohan would do. And there is no doubt that the Rohirrim trapped in the Hornburg during the War of the Ring will have felt a kinship with those trapped there with Helm all those years ago, seemingly unbeatable odds against them. And to gain heart, they would have thought back to Helm's example and how he struck fear into his enemies, and they would look to Théoden with his flowing white hair and white horse called Snowmane that echoed Helm Hammerhand in the snow. Helm's horn was sounded, as Helm himself had sounded his horn before going out on the offensive, and the cry went up, "Helm is arisen and comes back to war. Helm for Théoden King." In that moment, it mattered little to the Rohirrim whether Helm was a good diplomat, a good leader, or even a good man. He was very possibly none of those things. But his valour and defiance against overwhelming odds was the inspiration that they needed. If you'd like more videos like this, diving deep into Tolkien's legendarium, there's a link appearing now on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.